like to welcome everyone to the February 2nd, Happy Groundhog Day, meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And if the clerk would kindly call the roll.
Chair Manager Green.
Present.
Deputy Chair Gina Hansett.
Present.
Legislator Aaron Levine. Legislator Joe Maloney. Legislator Eric Stewart. And Chair Tracy Bartels
here. Now, with Tracy here, does that give us a quorum, or do we have to have another legislator?
Okay, we're good.
All right. So with that, let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And would you like to?
Please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And this is also the second day of Black History Month, so it's just an acknowledgement. And for me, that's very meaningful because I got my start as an activist in the civil rights movement. And when our other legislators, other committee members arrive, we'll just acknowledge that. So with that, I would like to ask Director Nick Vasa.
If do you want to approve these real quick?
Yes.
Done?
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
What a good deputy. I would like, if everyone is ready to hear, I would like to call for a motion to approve the minutes of December 2nd regular meeting and December 10th the special meeting. Is that right? 19th.
Yep. Yes. I
move it.
Yeah,
so moved.
I so moved.
A second. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I should have asked for if there are any changes. I'll get to these later. I see under Department of Environment, we're starting right off with the Ashokan Reservoir water releases. So should we just go to Amanda's presentation, then you can fill in anything else? Okay, great. And just to be sure everybody here knows, this is Amanda Laval.
Yes.
And are you
Deputy
Director of Planning? Director of Planning. Formerly Director at Energy and Environment. And welcome to Joe and Aaron. And we will mark you as present. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're starting on time. I'm going to try really hard to keep on time because we have another meeting following.
Is it a 4 o'clock meeting?
Is it just 5:15?
Yeah.
So we have a full agenda.
And I do want to say that at some point I think something like this should go to the entire legislature just because
okay.
It's such a critical issue for Ulster County. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. As if folks didn't hear, my name is Amanda Laval. I'm the Deputy Director of Ulster County Planning, and here to present, as requested, an update on the Lower Osobis Creek, and in particular related to a proposed revision of the interim release protocol. And I'm going to walk you through what that means and what are some concerns that we have about it. So the first thing is, because this is, speaking of Groundhog Day, it's an issue that has been, you know, recurring over the last 10 years, and it has a lot of context around it with the City of New York and regulations. So in an attempt to streamline this, we're going to present a little bit on the background of releases and kind of how they work from the reservoir, and then talk about why we have an interim release protocol. I'm going to use the term IRP probably frequently, and that just stands for the Interim Release Protocol. Talk about what the IRP is, what are some pros and cons to the fact that we have this interim release protocol, as well as what the proposed changes are and how they will be considered, and then finally some conclusions and concerns. First, on the background here, so this is in the middle is a map of the showing the full Esopus watershed. So that is from the headwaters around Slide Mountain in the Catskills all the way to where it meets the Hudson in Saugerties up here in this part of the slide. And it was, with the creation of the reservoir, it became the upper Esopus and the lower Esopus. For the purposes of this presentation, I just want to focus that there's two ways in which water can leave, for lack of a better word, the reservoir. And one is in a rather uncontrolled manner, which is through the spillway, and that's when the reservoir exceeds 100% of its capacity. And the other one is through the release channel, which is a valve and a channel through which the water is diverted from the reservoir through some headworks and is released to the lower Esopus. The maximum flow that can be released is 600 million gallons per day, which equates to a little less than 1,000 cubic feet per second, if folks have any experience kind of looking at flow and with water.
That the turbidity is released through the channel?
It can come out both ways, really, but the turbidity that has been more problematic for us is always through the channel. Right there. So there's the release channel and the spillway are kind of in that middle south section of the reservoir. The spillway you can see from 28A, if you drive around the back. You can also see the release channel. It's a little harder to, as well. All right. So the release channel, which was historically called the waste channel, and that's just kind of a use of an engineering term, it's to waste, was designed and built at the construction of the Chopin Reservoir over 100 years ago. However, it was not used as part of the operation and was not maintained for many, many years. So it was overgrown and kind of neglected for a long time. Most reservoirs are required by New York State law to release water for downstream ecological benefits. However, and that's in state regulations, however, the Chopin was exempted for a stated lack of release works. And it's not that the release works weren't there, but they weren't really used or operated. So it was not put into state regs that there was ever, that the DEP had to release water for downstream benefit.
And that, I don't know if you want to wait till the end for every question, but that law, those mandates you talk about never had anything to do with turbidity. It was for the
correct
benefit of the creek. And
exactly. But there's kind of a precedent for that. You have to release water in the state regs for benefit, ecological benefit.
But not for the Chopin.
But not for the Chopin. The city of New York, they worked to reestablish that starting in the mid-2000s and then kind of began gearing up to use it as a means to help manage turbidity in the system around 2010.
So in other words, the city, for the benefit, that law is for the benefit of the downward creeks, but they were trying to get mandated and basically so they could say, oh, we have to do this.
So they never had to do it under state regulations because they said they couldn't. And then eventually when they wanted to, they reestablished the ability, but primarily at first with the lens of doing it for water quality and for turbidity reduction. So it's just part of the, does that make?
For turbidity reduction?
Yep, so they're reducing turbidity by.
So the law is meant to help the creeks.
Yeah.
But they were trying to get the law reinstated so they could hurt our creek.
No, they've never wanted to be regulated under 672. I just offer that as a means of saying other reservoirs are regulated for benefit under the regulations. the IRP is a separate instrument for attempting to regulate releases from the Ashokan.
So all I was pointing out was that in the mid-2000s, when they attempted to almost be mandated to, as other reservoirs were, they were not doing it for the goodness of their hearts. They were doing it so they could make us more turbid.
Yeah, and I think they've never actually been wanting to be regulated under 672.
Yeah.
So the IRP, so instead of state regulation saying you have to do this much for downstream benefit, there's this other, the IRP is the agreement that governs how releases are regulated from the Ashokan. Okay, so here we go. Controlled releases began without regulatory oversight by DEP to reduce turbidity, again, about 2010. And this is the waste channel when it was reactivated. If you drive by it now, it's better maintained. There aren't trees on the side. And this is a little snippet from a press release in 2010 from DEP. DEP to reactivate Ashokan release reservoir waste channel. Release of water will improve water quality.
In the reservoir.
Yes. So why do we have a release protocol? Again, following up on, they started doing this in 2010. There was really strong political and local public and political opposition to the release channel. This is a brief from just over 10 years ago that Ulster County put together on releases to the lower SOCAS that talked about why and what the impacts were. This is what I'm saying about Groundhog Day, that this has been a recurring issue. By late 2011, DC initiated an enforcement action against DEP. So this was a way of saying how you were using the release channel without any regulatory approval to manage turbidity isn't acceptable. That's when the IRP was written, and it was first just generally agreed to, and that was in about 2011. And then in 2013, when the order on consent was finalized, the IRP was put into that document, and that's an executed consent order between New York City and the state of New York. That consent order also included a civil penalty of over $2.7 million to DEP for that release over that period of time. Since that time, when the consent order was executed, there have been two small changes to the IRP, but they're what I would call them ministerial. They were very small tweaks in language. All right. So what is the interim release protocol? It governs releases to the lower SOCAS. It includes three main categories of releases. The first one is community. They call them community releases. These are low flow releases, which would be to support the ecology and the health of the creek. It's between 10 to 15 MGD, which is a pretty small amount of water considering the size of the reservoir downstream, the watershed downstream. The second are spill mitigation releases. I'm going to talk a little bit more about those, but those are a variety of releases whose purported goal is to help maintain a void in the reservoir. However, they have frequently been used by DEP, and they have had a water quality benefit for DEP, a water quality impairment for the lower SOCAS when those have been used. So the last category is operational releases. These would be releases when the void targets for the reservoir have already been met, and this is purely just DEP saying we want to release this water for operational benefit.
So there'd be no turbidity in an operational release?
There could be. Operational covers, they could release turbid water as part of their operations under this protocol.
But as a practical matter, when they do release the large slugs of turbid water, those are operational releases.
They can be spill mitigation releases.
Oh, they can be either one.
Or operational
releases.
DEP has also been successful in seeking waivers from the IRP whenever they needed it. We've had some engineering problems with valve stock, or they couldn't do some of the clean flushing flows that's required in the in the IRP, and the IRP is an 8-page document, so there's a lot more detail than these three lines. But they've always been successful in getting waivers from DEC for when they haven't been able to meet the IRP. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of pros and cons of the IRP and releases to the lower surface. The first, this kind of speaks to that community-based flow release. So on the right-hand side here, I don't know if folks are familiar with the Hurley Mountain Road Bridge over the Esopus. Sometimes it's called the Congor Bridge, I believe. This is a 2010 picture looking upstream, and this is it's a very dry creek in this section, so there's vegetation growing in. You can see the creek bed. On the lower left here is a clear water release. So there is some benefit to the lower flow, these modest low flow releases, to providing some base flow to the creek. Although that lower left hand picture is certainly more water than 10 to 15 MGD. And we're not entirely sure how far downstream that community benefit rate, the 10 to 15 MGD, actually reaches. Like how far downstream benefits from that water, because water can recharge into the near surface groundwater, and you know, a reach of stream can actually be gaining water at some times of year from the landscape, and at other times of year it can be recharging into the landscape. So it's a little unclear how far downstream that 10 to 15 MGD reaches. So although DEP will often say that water reaches all the way downstream, we don't really know that.
If just from an environmental ecological standpoint, the picture on the right, would you say it's always better to have a deeper, faster flowing stream or creek? I mean, there's wildlife that, I mean, if that historically, if we saw a picture of that creek from 100 years ago and it looked like that from the right, couldn't you make the argument that that's better?
It would have had a lot more water in it 100 years ago because all that water is being intercepted from the reservoir. So the creek is generally starved of water because for thousands of years since the last ice age, it has had
glacial runoff.
You know, the whole, it has benefited from the entire Esopus watershed. The city captures and diverts a lot of that water. So the lower Esopus has been water starved in many times over that time. So I would say more water that the lower Esopus, that this level of water would stress that system. It's too little water, like on the right hand side. So you never want it ramping up and down, create, you know, big changes all the time, but more base flow is generally a good thing. Okay. So now I'm going to speak a little bit towards that. The second category of releases with the storage void. Okay. So the spill mitigation releases. There is now, and it's on this graph here, it's called a rule curve, or here it's the conditional seasonal storage objective. So this is like a target for how full the DEP should be keeping the reservoir at different times of the year. So they like to be full, so up here by 100, starting May 1, which is getting into the start of their water year in summer when there's more demand. And then through the winter, they're willing to ramp down to 90%. This provides some protection with storms coming through in the fall. And then they can take it down to 90, in which they're anticipating spring runoff, snowpack melt that will help recharge the reservoir. And then again, they want to be full by the 1st of May. So, before the IRP, they didn't have an agreed upon rule curve for a show can. They operated it how they wanted to. This provides more predictable void at certain times of year. So those larger voids do provide more buffer against downstream flooding. Spilling is not uncommon, it's pretty frequent. However, we do know that large spill events can certainly create flood conditions along the lower SOPIS. So those more predictable voids help buffer that downstream flooding, but they don't eliminate the risk of flooding in the lower SOPIS. I would also say that when you think about a stream channel versus a reservoir, and a show can is like 12 miles long, a couple miles wide, even if that reservoir is full and spilling, the fact that water has to come into it and spread out does actually also slow it down. Compared to before the reservoir, when it was just a stream channel moving through the landscape. So just to understand that. We do have some understanding that the floodplain mapping for the lower SOPIS has some inadequacies. So we don't have mapping that really, we think, more accurately reflects some of these risks related to flooding and how full the reservoir is. So then we can also have releases that will result in this. So this is highly turbid, high volume releases, and we know that they impact habitat, water quality, recreational use, agricultural use, the use of water in the creek for irrigation, bank saturation and then bank slumping, residents, businesses, other water supplies, et cetera.
Have we been out there gauging how much silt has, you know, I've been told 10, 12, 15 feet of depth has been lost right in residences?
So that's a longer discussion than your meeting, but I'm happy to have that because the clay that comes from the show can is very, very, very small. So it tends to stay in suspension, which is actually one of the problems because it kind of goes through and moves through the system. However, there may be other sources of silt because that would be the size of particle that would actually be just heavier enough to drop out. And as part of the stream management program plan and the assessment this summer, we're going to be looking at other sources, larger bank failures, that could be the inputs for if folks are actually seeing that kind of accumulation of sediment.
It's all been since the aluminum sulfate has stopped being used.
Yeah.
So whether it's the silt that's down there,
or the changes in the flow regime and banks destabilizing. So it's a lot to tease apart.
The DEP has people out there all the time. They have contractors out there all the time measuring.
Yep.
If we can get their information, I doubt they're going to give it to us.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get that data, actually. Here's another picture from high flow, high turbid releases in Saugerties. And here's high flow, high turbidity releases on the Hudson. And you can see, even as far down as the Hudson, just the water quality. And then there are about 100,000 people who have public water supply that comes from the Hudson River. So here's a map of the creek in Saugerties, and here are the actual intake points of those drinking water systems. And there's 5 of 7 municipalities, I believe. And we have worked with a town to pull samples from their intake from their tap. And we're able to do some lab analysis and show that it was actually a SOPIS and a show can sediment that was coming, that was in the drinking water. So on to the changes. So last fall, DEP and DEC released some proposed revisions to this interim release protocol. As was stated and shared with us by DEP on a conference call, on a webinar in November of 2022. The DEP now is managing not just turbidity, which has kind of driven this decision-making and regulatory framework that got us to this place over the last 20 years, but disinfection byproducts. And they were actually out of compliance for two quarters this past year. Disinfection byproducts are a result of disinfection, but they happen when you have high organic matter in water. You can't really treat them once you have them in the water. And the Delaware system over here, Patuxent and Canisville, tends to be higher in those organics. The Catskill system tends to be higher in the turbidity. So they're realizing that they need the more flexibility. And they might have times when they have to just deal with the turbidity and still use the water, because now they're realizing that they have been relying on that Delaware water, but that's more prone to producing these disinfection byproducts. So their strategy is to blend the water to reduce that risk. So one of the changes is, oh, that's in the wrong place. So what does that mean? They're proposing to, out of the IRP, to do away with the operational release category. They have used the spill mitigation category like 2 years ago when we had 3 months releases that were over, they started out over 200 NTU. That was all spill mitigation releases, and those were very clearly water quality benefit for them. So in this proposed revision, they're saying, oh, we're going to get rid of the operational category. I'm like, that's forthright, I think, because they've benefited from, they've never used it, but they've been benefiting and having operational benefit from the IRP. The other thing that they're proposing is that in the spill mitigation category here, which are these higher flow releases to get back to the void targets for the reservoir, that the anytime that water was over 20 NTU, which is about when it becomes visually unappealing, and I'm sure impacting, that it would become they would only release water if they were directed by the county to do so, which puts the county in a unique and unprecedented position as calling for those releases. Right. So.
And that's also when we would be asking for it, when it was in theory going to be a flood mitigator, correct? And there are a lot of engineers and residents out there that don't think that they stop flooding
right
with those releases.
Right.
So we could essentially take their deal and then tell them never to release and call their bluff, no?
It's interesting. I don't know if I'm not sure what the intent is, but what they're saying is that, okay, you get to decide what to do with it. And you get to pick, is it turbid water or is it filling up the reservoir and getting a little closer to that, to being tail. Just a couple things to note. So they have this draft of revision to the IRP. However, the consent order, which the IRP is part of, is signed between DEP and DEP. So it's ultimately between those two parties for the consent order. But the consent order also says that the stakeholders have to be consulted with changes to release protocols. So that's what DEC is.
Who's defined as the stakeholders?
It's loose, but it might be the Shokan Release Working Group that meets quarterly, but it's not.
I would say it's the exec in the legislature.
It's not specified. The Shokan Release Working Group has been meeting for 10 years quarterly. That's typically the group that's used as the stakeholders. They are municipal, the town.
In my mind, they can certainly come in and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're going to opine or give our opinion to the DEC, I mean, later, but I would hope that it's the exec in the legislature that ultimately makes the decision.
I'm sure that,
if I'm almost done, all right, okay.
Because as far as I knew, my request was for the whole legislature because I think they needed it, and then we'll do it in a way where there's really time that everybody leaves understanding.
Please, sure, I know.
If we can,
absolutely.
It's an excellent presentation. Thank you.
But, and this is really the end of it. So we've gotten to this place where, you know, for many years it was driven by turbidity. Now we're talking about disinfection byproducts. They want to change this. Turbidity is not the only concern anymore in managing the surface, the drinking water. And they have said publicly that they are willing to treat with alum to reduce the turbidity and meet the standards. And this is a significant shift in the overarching management strategy and the regulatory framework to managing the reservoir. There's a typo in there.
What are your concerns about the increased use of alum?
It's been an issue. Riverkeeper won a lawsuit regarding alum flock in
Kensico. The alum's going to be used down in Kensico.
Yep.
Oh.
There are impacts to it, but you know, how do you weigh those against impacts to the lower Sopus, and the alum is used down in Kensico. So again, this is an unprecedented situation in which the county, when meanwhile this doesn't happen, is asked to kind of govern and make decisions around releases. Why are they asking for this now? There's been precedents in which DEC in the past has granted waivers to DEP, so we know there's existing latitude in the IRP. Why is this now? And these are, and also, but there's an opportunity also, and I'll just end it here, in that this is, in the past, they've talked about multi-objective management of the lower Sopus, but it's not been the reality because they've been so focused on turbidity, and that's the entire framework of even the studies in the environmental impact statement. This is indicating that it might actually now be more flexibility in the decision making. So what tools do we need to actually inform that for both the creek and the communities? And that's where I think there needs to be a call for more from the DEP as well.
What about a filtration?
Hold on a second. It's my understanding that you folks are writing comments. Am I mixing up what you're writing comments on?
There is a comment period that's been extended to February 28th, and so we're looking to see what those comments we can submit. And I think that Amanda's slide presentation gives you a sense of where we're at relative to those comments. The biggest concern, obviously, being is the environmental and liabilities associated with the county actually calling for releases. The second biggest concern is that those releases would only be, the only chance we get to call for releases is when the water is really bad, when it's over 20 NTU. So Amanda has a great way of putting this, and I'll let Amanda say it, but it's one of those hops and choices kinds of things, which essentially is you have two poor choices, pick which one you want, but you're literally calling hell and damnation down upon yourself in some instances. And so the thought being is that remember the fact that we're still in the midst of a draft environmental impact statement that's now been asked to be supplemental. So the thought being is that it may be better to wait and see what this new operational protocol is from the city, given the fact that they now have multiple objective, and then make a decision after that supplemental comes out, and sort of leave it unchanged and use the existing IRP with its waiver requirement, with its waivers, to essentially become more collaborative. And take advantage of the opportunity that's here with respect to a different operational paradigm for the reservoir. That's a long answer to a simple question. I apologize.
When are the first set of comments due?
The 28th of February, that's correct, right, Amanda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and is there a process where the committee or the legislature will have a chance to see them? Or?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
So that's not, February 28th is not the deadline for us to make a decision on their offer, tell them what we think about their offer?
It's the public comment period.
But we still have time beyond that to officially tell them what we would like to.
No, but typically in the public comment period, they take the public comments and then they go back and make a decision based on that. So
you're calling what we decide to tell as a governmental, as the county government, what we end up telling the DC and the DP about their offer for us to take over responsibility?
We're not party to the order. It's the consent order.
What's that?
We're not party to the consent order. So,
all I'm asking is, you said that they're going to take strong consideration into almost an offer for the county to oversee releases themselves outside when. I'm asking, when is the last time, what does the county do to give them their opinion?
All I know is that the public comment period ends the 20th.
So we're calling our government response, we're calling it a public comment period?
We haven't been told something different than that because...
Okay, so this is where I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
A month or two ago, I brought this up because a resident who's got 100 acres along the creek has kept me very abreast of what's going on. That's the first time the legislature heard about this offer. That's scary to me that as a legislator in Sauberty, I was not aware that we had this deal in the works. Now we sit here with a couple of weeks to go and take the head of planning, not an engineer that specializes in releases or any of these type of hydrologists, and he's telling us this is a tough decision, maybe we're better off just leaving it the way it is, and we're going to accept that. It's just, we should have been informed earlier on, we should have had subcommittee meetings and working groups. We should have hired hydrologists to come in and actually tell us what they, independently, what they believe about these releases. And if we choose this option, this is what we believe with this. And here we are 3 weeks away, and we're going to go status quo. Any more turbidity is unacceptable to my community. So if that means filing a lawsuit against the city like we've talked about before, that has to be on the table. But as far as having the planning director in here and giving us the expert opinion with 3 weeks to make a decision that we are not going to have anything to do with, some board that we don't have a ton of contact or oversight with, is going to make a decision on the behalf of my constituents who elected me to be involved in these kinds of decisions, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, well, it's a lot to unpack. I mean, I think that just speaking for myself, I certainly would have liked to have heard about this before I did, but I wouldn't characterize the Director of Planning's comments as either one, representative saying he's the resident expert, or two, telling us we're just going to accept the status quo. We know what we're hearing, that there's a public comment period. I would expect that the county is going to weigh in with comment. Related to where we're hearing is this issue of the county taking over a portion of the releases. That's the most critical part we have to weigh in on, and I think that there's a collective
3 weeks to figure.
Yeah, but there's a collective understanding that that is not in the county's best interest. We're undertaking much more than the requirement to determine the releases.
How do you say collective?
How do I say collective?
David, have you ever talked to anybody that doesn't believe that these releases are as beneficial and flood mitigating as they state they are? I've certainly heard that from professionals.
First of all, you interrupted my comments, but that's fine. But the issue, there are two different things going on. We're not talking about the benefits of releases or not. We're talking about the question as to whether or not the county would take over responsibility for determining when to release in a certain set of circumstances. I agree with the chair of the committee, that there should be a presentation to the full legislature, whether that's at a special legislative session or at the next legislative session, or I'd like to be able to circulate your slide deck. That was the other thing I was going to ask, if we could have that and we could post that, could come out from the committee to the full legislature, and also any set of comments, which I think would be, which are currently in the works in terms of the county's comments, it would be good to be able to share that with the full legislature as well.
Does that work to set up a special meeting? I think that we could spend, I'm not going to recognize you, Phil, because we're done with this today, if we're going to get through this agenda. But I do want to set up a special meeting where there's time to flush everything out. We just can't do it here today, given how much we have on the agenda. And I know this is a different chair than sat here last year, but I have committed to keep us on time.
Will that special meeting be before the 28th?
It would have to be.
Yes, ideally.
So if you're looking at me, if the legislature calls a special meeting, I am confident that the county executive will attend, and will let us attend to
okay.
make that decision.
We've both spoken to the county executive
already. Yeah, there's no question in my mind.
And I'm sorry to cut off conversation now, but I'm trying to create an opportunity for real dialogue, and it can't be right now. All right. Thank you. That was excellent, and I'm sorry to run roughshod, but I think it's necessary. Let's see. That was the Chopin Reservoir. Any update you would like to share on the Reuse Innovation Center?
Yes, Chair Green. Next Tuesday, February 7th, 11:30 to 1 p.m., our consultant on the Reuse Innovation Center feasibility study is conducting a public workshop to review some of the initial deliverables that they've created in the project and get comment on the direction of the project. That will be held by Zoom. There's a flyer that I can circulate with the committee, and everyone is welcome to attend and give comments. Our consultants, if you don't know, are the Sustainable Hudson Valley and Reuse Consulting, who we selected through an RFP last year for the project.
And then is there any update on the Hudson 7?
For the Hudson 7, we've communicated the signed amendment to the memorandum of agreement between the 7 communities. That will soon be 9. And the other communities are considering it and having that signed as well. So once that is completed, then we will...
Is an appointment?
Don't announce it yet. Not yet. But yeah, I signed it.
Okay, thank you. And the way Ulster County's appointment will be made by the resolution is by the county executive in consultation with the OIR. Okay. UCRRA, do you have... I have started to put things that are sort of old business under the department, so that we're not bouncing around so much. Please.
Well, I will apologize because I didn't see that until like 30 minutes before coming over here, so I didn't really realize there were a couple of specific things here, but I do have some updates for you along the lines of this stuff. So first of all, with the solid waste management plan, we're moving forward. I'm taking steps to move forward with making sure that we're addressing the components of the solid waste management plan. One of the things that we're doing is I hope by Monday to release an RFP for a comprehensive feasibility study, to get proposals back for a comprehensive feasibility study for landfill siting within the county. So I did consult with some of the county staff on that and see if they had any plans and stuff. So trying to make sure it's a collaborative effort. That hopefully is released Monday. So that's going to be followed up with a ROI that I'm preparing that will basically go out and request out there that's got some type of a technology or a system that they think might help us reduce the amount of MSW that we're disposing significantly, to come and let us know what they've got so that we can start looking for ideas and thoughts of how we might reduce that MSW that we're sending to the landfill. So we're going to be doing that. I'm hoping to have that out by next month as well. We'll see how that develops. So we got that going on. As far as diversion goes, our final diversion numbers and steps, which we'd like to have for 2022, are not all put together yet. We're in the middle of reporting to DEC on a lot of things, and we're renewing permits for haulers and all kinds of stuff right now. We just don't quite have all that data finalized for 2022, but I should have it by your next meeting. I can share some of that data with you.
Thank you for focusing on that. I appreciate it. I do want to just take an old business item and say that over the past couple of years, we've made a lot of progress with the Zero Waste Implementation Plan. We don't quite have it ready to bring to the UCRA for input and to the Recycling Oversight Committee. And we either need funding or staff resources to complete it. I was hoping to request to be on the agenda in February, but I would like to bookmark March and hope that one way or another we will have it to you ahead of time and either be able to come to your meeting or set up a special meeting. But in the meantime, as Nick mentioned, the Reuse Innovation Center, which dovetails with the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, has made progress, and they will be reporting that on Tuesday. So little by little, I'm hoping we can really focus on waste diversion, and I really appreciate the fact that you're also focusing on landfill and a feasibility study. That is so needed because, in my opinion, that will give people an incentive to divert more waste so we can maintain that asset for a longer period of time. Any questions? And I'm sorry I cut you off, Phil. I hate doing that, but any questions for the agency? Okay. We're making up time. Well, that's good. Environmental management, anything? Well, Dave isn't here. Do you have any updates?
Dave is unable to make it today. The council meeting from January was canceled for weather. They'll be meeting again on the 4th Wednesday of this month, I believe it's the 25th, at the Restorative Justice Center.
Okay, great. Resolutions. We have quite a few resolutions, and let's just, I'd like to have a motion for the purpose of discussion of resolution number 5.
So moved.
Okay. And that resolution is setting a public hearing on proposed law number 12, local law providing for the rights of the residents of Ulster County to clean water and for the rights of the Hudson River, also known as, Phil, can you say that? I can't pronounce it, and I work for Clearwater.
Mahiganatuck?
Yes, that's good. to be held on Tuesday, March 14th. This is setting a public hearing. Any discussion on that resolution? I think this is just in this committee. It's setting a public hearing, and it's completely an environmental issue. I don't know that any of the other committees. So if there are concerns or suggestions, go ahead.
It's
It's also in the Laws and Rules Committee.
Oh, yes. Okay, do we, this
I
is setting
Bill
a public hearing, I'd like to call the question.
I'm sorry.
I think he was still there.
Yeah, thanks. Do you know that? I'll know that song. There's so many songs about this river here in our county, right? Sailing up, sailing down, and the river may be dirty now, but it's getting cleaner every day. There's that five-part round that we teach our children. The wheel of the water goes round and round, and the wheel of the water goes round. Water flows down, down, trickle, trickle down. Why do we sing with our children about the water? Why do we teach our children about this? Well,
yeah.
I'll just say that we just got done talking for 10 or 15 minutes and then weren't allowed to talk anymore about clean water. About a creek that runs right into that Hudson, and why we talk about a memorializing resolution that basically says we should have clean water. The devil's in the details. And we haven't done all that much for the Esopus, and it's kind of sad. We'll spend the same amount of time talking about a memorializing resolution that's basically just hoping and wishing that we have clean water, when in reality, we're not doing a hell of a lot.
Chair Bartels?
So, first of all, I mean, and I haven't been involved. I know this has been in committee for a bit of a time, but since I'm here today, you know, I want to first say that I really do appreciate the spirit of the legislation. The first time I heard it, it kind of reminded me of almost like a Citizens United, but for the environment and for water, you know. I have very different feelings about Citizens United. But I definitely do not see this as a memorializing resolution in any way, shape, or form, and that's sort of where I need to get up to speed on, in that, you know, Section 5, in terms of implementation and enforcement, it leads with pretty broad requirements for the county to take actions to, not just to implement, defend, and enforce, and that's not in any, that's not memorializing, that's real. This is a local law. So I don't know if those discussions have been had, and that's why I say it's like I realize I'm a little late to this. But I, before approving this, and maybe I just need to get up to speed on what's been done. Like, I would really need to have a sense of how this plays out in terms of passing a local law that requires that we take all necessary actions to implement, defend, and enforce. These are pretty broad provisions and laudable. I mean, provisions that I agree with. And I just want to say, it's like water. I listened to a podcast on the pressures of the Colorado River and the communities and the decisions that are happening on the West Coast in relation to the Colorado River, and really needing to make epically difficult decisions in terms of the usage and Deadpool and all of these looming concerns, and hearing about the monetization and sort of the speculating regarding the monetization of water is a great concern to me. And so that's, again, why I say I really do appreciate the spirit of this, but I do need to understand what it means to us practically as a government, and what in adopting prohibitions is one thing, but also adopting implementation and enforcement. Like, I want to understand what that means and what that looks like, and who's going to be making the determinations of implementation, defense, and enforcement.
It sounds like we might want to again take no action or postpone.
I just question to the chair, if it's not a memorializing resolution, can you just give me a hypothetical of something that could be going on in a waterway, and how this
would stop it?
Oh, yes, I can answer it. I mean, I can answer it speculatively. I can answer, for example, this is saying that we are acknowledging the right of the Hudson River to flourish, regenerate, to have water quality, to provide habitat for native plants. So imagine a circumstance where there is a use in proximity to the Hudson River that is deemed to put in peril the, you know, the right of a native plant in proximity
so
to exist. What this says is that we, the county, are bound to take necessary actions to defend and enforce that provision.
But
so I read that in a loose, and again, this is a deep conversation, that we are binding the county through this law then to take action against whatever that action is, no matter who's taking it along the Hudson River, in defense of the native plant or the animal or the people or the water quality.
To respond, there is no specifics there, which is what I was asking for. I have a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody calls the county. Who do they call? Who gets sent over? Who comes out of my property? Who does, I mean, explain to me, please, how that works.
Well, it's not my law, but I'm saying these are the questions I feel like we need answering, which aren't probably going to happen today. But I'm also saying that I don't know if you've already all had the conversation here, and you have answers for me because I haven't been here.
We haven't.
Okay. So that these are I just think it's a worthy conversation, but I think it's an expansive and a deep conversation that's going to be required.
Well, I was going to say, like, one great example that we were just shown was the releases of high turbidity water into the Hudson
mm-hmm.
from the Esopus. So this law would make us do what to prevent that issue, which we just heard Amanda's great presentation on.
My concern is that we sadly don't have time to have the conversation that we need to, and I would suggest that we revisit this after we've had a chance to really formulate our questions and invite Legislator Erner to come back or make suggestions for modifying it so that it is more clear. And I don't know if our attorney has had a chance to weigh in. I'm going to take...
That was my question, actually, was to ask if... Councilor Gordon,
yeah,
had a chance to even
I have a fair amount of... I mean, there's a lot in this law. There's a fair amount of commentary. You just tell me how much time you want to spend on it, and we'll, you know...
How much time?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a 10-minute overview if you want to do that, but...
Not today.
Well...
But a memorandum might be in order.
I've been meaning to put it together, yeah.
First I saw Legislator...
Thank you, Chair Green. Just a question, I guess, to the sponsor or the council, regarding if there are any other river-adjacent counties, Hudson River or Mohawk River, that have passed similar legislation that, you know, in terms of if we can kind of take a look to see how this has been implemented in other places or if there's a, you know, if there actually is a similar legislation out there, how it's been implemented. So that would be my question: is this kind of a unique circumstance, or have other areas of New York State or throughout the country on river adjacent municipalities done something like this?
Let me let Legislator Erner answer, and then you can be next.
Yeah.
I can start to answer, and others might chip in too, because. I'm certainly not necessarily the most knowledgeable person even in this room about it, but
yeah.
I know that the city of Troy had considered something, so that would have been along the Hudson River. In terms of our watershed, the Hudson, I'm not aware of any other efforts. However, up in the North Country, a couple of towns up in St. Lawrence County have been moving on protecting rivers that flow in the St. Lawrence Seaway up there. Potsdam recently passed something. Canton is going to. There's a town in Erie County, Wales, that passed something not specifically about rivers, but something else involving environmental catastrophes going on over there. But, there are many other examples elsewhere in the United States and around the world, but obviously the closer it is to home, the more relevant it would be legally.
First, I'd just like to say that, in a way, I'm obviously challenging a little bit, but I see the value. I do look at this as a memorializing resolution, a way to keep the conversation going. People hear about it, focus. Nothing moves the wheels of justice like public outcry, and I think that's a lot of what Bill's after. I would like to point out also that over the past several months, I've requested special committee meetings solely to get together for hours on what we just heard a presentation on with the SOPIS that we never scheduled, and now we have weeks to pull together.
Well, we did request it, and there was a mix-up, but...
Okay, and I've also requested a second or third meeting at some of these committees that take longer so we can actually get down to business and get somewhere instead of just rushing.
I agree with you. And I'm wondering,
here we are in February.
if there's a special focus meeting, if it can either be virtual or it's very hard to schedule an additional meeting and people are driving a long way. So hopefully we'll be able to telecommute more and get that work done. But for now, we don't need a motion if we just don't take action, but if somebody does want to move to postpone,
I think we do
need more information. I want to say one more thing, and that is, if I may, the Zero Waste Implementation Plan was well developed, but it was essentially sent back to not a committee but a working group because it wasn't specific enough. It didn't have an implementation timeline, costs. It wasn't fleshed out enough. And some of us have been working for a couple of years to achieve that. My sense here is that it is, in a sense, more of a memorializing, in that we do have to figure out what the law is actually committing the county to do and what is a violation of the law. I think a focused discussion on that is in order. Please.
I'm mindful of the time, but I'd just like to respond to a couple of things that have been brought up. And I appreciate that Chair Bartels' point and Chair Green's amplifying that. What is this actually specifically committing us to? There have been a number of other groups that have had a meeting, and if anybody was at the last Hudson 7, I heard that they might have mentioned this. I'm curious what they had to say. I attended a meeting in Orange County, which resulted in my pleasant surprise that Quassaic Watershed Alliance decided to memorialize us in support of this. That's because their creek has its origins in our county, in the town of Plattekill. So our watershed is connected to their watershed. I'm very interested to hear what Council Gordon has to say, and I look forward to that. We haven't had a real conversation actually about this yet, which makes me feel comfortable with holding it up, but there's a couple of outside attorneys that I've also talked to who have expertise in this, and I think might be willing to come also share with us their experience in this kind of legislation. And I understand when I looked at the county executive's order number one, it looked to me as though there were two items there that looked like they might pertain. Number three, the promoting a fair, equitable, environmentally just, clean energy transition consistent with the New York State Climate Act. And number four, the county shall create diverse, inclusive opportunities in the green economy and address the legacy pollution that is burdening tribal communities, communities of color, and low-income communities. Those would seem to bear on a law like this as well. Now, to wrap up here,
in terms of whether this is memorializing or not, I would, and I appreciate that sentiment and like hearing that it might be more of what we aspire to rather than what we can do, but one of the attorneys that helped me craft this says that this is basically recognize changing the status of current law to provide more protection. It's recognizing a new standard that current federal and state laws have holes that aren't really covering it, like PFASs and heavy metals, and that's general, but very specific to our county. We have this power cable coming, proposed to come through the river that we unanimously asked our IDA not to give any tax considerations to. We have Holtec, which is partly responsible for decommissioning Indian Point, that is potentially going to dump toxic nuclear waste in the river in our air, that either directly in our county or that could flow up into our county because the river flows both ways. So those are two particular things that this could perhaps empower us to have a say over stopping. And this gives the people of Ulster County a new right. We would have the right to sue on behalf of those who have contaminated water or the ecosystem in general. So it empowers us as people in the county to have a shared effort in protecting the watershed, but also gives us more local control when we see that maybe the state, maybe the federal government are unwilling or unable to do so.
And I also want to ask if Attorney Gordon is going to prepare a memo to see how it relates to the Green Amendment that was passed.
That's a very, very important point.
Please.
I just want to say I respect Legislator Erner and all the time and effort that you put into this. And then we also have to look at the other end of it, is how would we regulate and enforce it, so, which is another big piece of it. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. So I have not heard a motion to postpone, so I'm going to suggest we take no action, and I'm looking for a resolution, a motion to discuss resolution number 38, which is authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a development agreement with AC Power Development Company for the development of a solar array at the Hertel landfill site, a foreclosure eligible parcel, Department of Planning. Do you need to speak?
First. Second.
Please.
I'll move it.
Second.
Oh, moved and seconded.
You
got this?
Okay.
We just.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
As you're aware, there are a series of properties that, for which the county hasn't foreclosed on due to real or perceived environmental contamination issues, one of which, and one of the most long-standing ones, is the site that's known as the Hertel landfill. This is in a federal Superfund site. It is on the MPL list, the National Priorities List, it continues to be so. In an effort to think about how to look for adaptive reuse of this property and get it out of this place where it's been on the foreclosure eligible list, the county issued an RF. SOQ, a request for statement of qualifications for solar companies who were experienced in solar arrays on brownfield sites and EPA Superfund sites. Through that process, we selected AC Power, and this agreement would indicate that the county is working with AC Power on, as they develop a proposed plan, engineering plan for solar at that landfill,
and would allow them to do certain things like, or the county to do things like to apply for the interconnection studies with Central Hudson in order to vet the feasibility of a solar installation at the landfill. AC Power was the only company that was willing to pay the county the back taxes on the property, which are currently about $200,000. Also, they were the only company that was eager to own the property, so that the county's role in this would be to receive some assurances from EPA that we can foreclose on the property, as the EPA also has a surplus lien, has a Superfund-related lien on the property. And then we would have a purchase and sale agreement and transfer the property to AC Power. And this would happen once they have a viable project for the site. But right now is the beginning stages of the vetting of the feasibility of the solar project, and that's what this development agreement would allow us to proceed, as well as show the intent of the county to foreclose on it for that purpose.
If we pass that, there's still opportunity to weigh in on CEQA.
So the sale, the foreclosure, and the transfer of a property less than 100 acres is a type two action on the county's type two list. It is a foreclosure. And a transfer.
Yes.
I just feel, I see Councilor Gordon shaking his head, and I'm not going to try to read his mind, but I just feel like we're back to this concept of, a couple things. One, it's laudable that we're moving toward dealing with these brownfields, and this would be a great use of the brownfield. I do want to understand and be certain that whatever needs to be handled in terms of mitigation of the property, like that would be handled, and we don't have to go into it this second. But I think the reason that the councilor shaking his head is probably to do with the idea that we're thinking, and I could be wrong, we're thinking of the type 2 action as the foreclosure action only, versus the concept of like a larger project. And when if we're segmenting CEQA, we're back into that. Like I said, it is Groundhog Day. So it's like we're back to that conversation. We're back to the conversation of, okay, like if we're gonna take this in different parts, we can say, oh, you see, this is just a type two. But really, we need to think of the whole project. Which arguably, this is gonna be a good putting solar is likely gonna be a positive,
so
right? But
because the county would not be retaining the parcel, that all the permitting seeker for the solar development will have to be undertaken by AC Power as the project sponsor and the parcel owner.
Yeah,
they're still going to have to do that because it will be, in fact, their project. I would just remind you that the all the details of the layout of the solar have to be both approved and vetted by EPA, and also permitted and approved in order for the project to move forward.
Yeah.
The type 2 list for the state has been amended to include as a type 2 action solar installations over 10 acres on closed land.
Okay.
Specifically as a type 2 action because they want to encourage
it.
But you have to have a layout that shows are there additional disturbances, what are the extents of the project. But solar on closed landfill is a type 2 action for the updated.
And may I just for clarification, this resolution is authorizing the development agreement between the county and the respondent solar array, and it is in advance of foreclosure. We wouldn't foreclose and transfer until all of these other things were in place.
So there was 7 bids on this, you said, right?
Yes.
And this was the only bid that came in that wanted to own the property. which also, because we're not going to be able to figure out in any kind of real time, doesn't allow us to negotiate the tax with what they're going to be paying in taxes, which is nothing because the state basically lets solar arrays not pay taxes, though they can agree to pay some more taxes. Had we gone a route that let us own it for a while with the plan to eventually transfer over to a company, we could probably at that point negotiate a much higher tax yield for the school district and the town, but we did choose the only company that's going to obtain ownership right off the bat, even though you guys said you put it into the RFP that we didn't want to own it. Though I requested that RFP, I got to take a look at it. That 6 out of 7, even though the request was in the proposal, came back and said, no, we still don't want to own it.
Because it's a liability. And it is a company that's able to gain comfort and understand what they're looking at who can manage that risk.
They agreed to pay the back taxes, which is
correct.
Which is the nice part of it. You said something about the lien, but are there any liens against whoever the owner of the property is now that is financial in?
There's a CERCLA lien. It is not reported against the deed from EPA. This is what we've been told by EPA. That's a very standard practice. Although the owner of the property is separate from what's called the responsible party, the PRP. So the PRP still has agreements with EPA to pay for monitoring, pay for the long-term maintenance of the system, the leachate system, to do the reporting, to do everything regarding the actual Superfund site. But there is this other lien against the property that the owner is against the owner as well. I don't know if that helped.
It's in my head now because now there's these things being talked about with regards to foreclosures and anything. But it has to do with liens too, and I just wonder sometimes about, you know, happening in Tech City, there are people that have liens against properties we went and sold, and they were left out to dry financially, and I just wanted to know if this company was willing to pay the back taxes to us, and if there was a lien against the property and somebody out there was owed money, would they be willing
there
to pay that?
There is nothing else reported against the property. There's the CERCLA lien, which EPA, which has, it's our lien. The foreclosure is subordinate to the CERCLA lien. So that is the only thing.
So it's nice everybody involved is being made whole with this deal.
Does anybody have anything else, or is anyone willing to, this is a motion to discuss. Shall we call the question? Okay. On resolution number 38, I'm not going to read it again because I read it into the record. But basically, to allow the solar to be put on the Hertel landfill after foreclosure. And yes,
I just want to be clear that this is the development agreement. All of that would have to come back because we would have to foreclose and sell it to them, right? That would be a separate, that would come before the legislature.
Okay.
All yes?
Well, are we approving
the purchase and sale agreement? Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Does anybody have
one more question?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All in favor?
Well, can I just be clear? I feel like I just want to be clear that the purchase and sale agreement would come back before the legislature. This is the development agreement so that applications can be made to Central Hudson, NYSERDA, et cetera, and a full package could come in terms of the comfort of the transfer of the properties. Am I missing something? Is that what's going
to be? Essentially allows the solar developer to go through all of the necessary processes that they have to do to basically prove out the solar development before they go and take title.
Okay.
But we have to come back to
I just, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just
sorry.
I'm David in my ear. So, are all the approvals for the solar happening now?
No.
In advance? That's going to happen after the transfer.
Once the development agreement is in place,
mm-hmm.
and we've kind of stated what the overall plan is here, subject
yep.
to further, you know, review by the legislature, then they can actually go and apply to the utility for the interconnection study in order to find out if the project's viable, how much it would cost to upgrade the circuit and to build. They can do their analysis to figure out, is the project viable, how much would the utility upgrades, how much would Central Hudson require in order to interconnect, and see if they have a project. And then we would go the next step.
So, okay, sorry, two follow-on questions. At what point in that narrative would the SEACR process happen? Or is right now this is the SEACR process, we're saying there we don't need SEACR, but who's going to do the SEACR process?
The developer will do SEACR. At that point, once they foreclose on it, they're the owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they need to do all the permitting, all the SEACR, you know, make their type determination depending on the extent of the project, and do all that work.
Just walking you through this, is think of this as a feasibility study,
mm-hmm.
right? And as part of that feasibility study, the person that is going to end up doing the solar work needs to essentially find a way to indicate that they have some sort of property control, right? In order for Central Hudson and others to participate in that feasibility study. So what you're giving them is essentially the fact that they can act for you in saying that we're going to have property control eventually, and therefore we want you to engage in doing that feasibility study. Then as we come back, they'll come back to us and there'll be a transfer of the property, which would require the legislature to authorize when we foreclose on it and then transfer it over, right? That's subject to SEACR. We know from Amanda's discussion that one, that transfer is a type 2 action because it's less than 100 acres. We also know from Amanda that
then it's not subject to SEACR, it's type 2 action.
Well, subject to SEACR as it relates to the determination, let me put it that way. Does that help you? But then the second piece of that is we also know that the solar development itself is a type 2 action. So both actions are exempt from SEACR, if I can put it that way. Help.
Can I ask, can Dave opine on what he just heard, if he agrees 100%?
Okay, and then I have one more thing.
Yeah, this doesn't make much sense to me, from a SEACR perspective. First of all, the ultimate transfer is speculative. There's no contracts that may or may not happen. At this point, this is on its face, this is a resolution to enter into a contract to develop solar on this property. That's what it is.
Like a feasibility study.
Well, I'm not sure that's what it says. It says development agreement. And so this is an agreement that we're going to work with this particular contractor to develop solar on the property. It's a decision.
To develop plans, to advance engineering plans for solar on the property.
To
develop a feasible
execute
project.
A development agreement. Right.
What's in the development? The development agreement.
That was my other question. Is mm-hmm. I haven't seen the development agreement.
It's by tomorrow. Go ahead. We just got a comment back from Ethan Howard. So
the development agreement is only to do the research and develop plans. It's not to. It's not to execute. It's not to develop solar on the property.
Correct, because we don't own the property right now. We haven't foreclosed on it. And the plan is that it would be transferred to this company, and they would, as the owner of the property, actually do the construction. So it's just stating our intent as the entity that can foreclose on it, and it allows them to apply for. You have to have an interest in a property in some way. You can't just have a developer go to the utility and say.
Specifically, this agreement is an agreement to develop plans and not to develop the solar array.
Correct. It
okay.
is not for
if
construction.
That's true, because we haven't seen it, then that's the reason why it's type 2. I disagreed with the other
okay.
aspects, because you were, first it was the It's not the transfer. And secondly, the state regulations, which have type 2 for solar, have certain constraints that it wasn't clear to me, whether the certain acreage constraints, et cetera. So we would have needed to go over that. But if this is only to develop the plans,
correct,
then it's type 2 on that basis.
Right. So it could be, yes.
Okay.
So I saw your hand, and I just want to say, rather than have a special meeting, as long as there's an understanding that the chair will see the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
We're obviously going to take this property. Why wouldn't we take it and then do this? It seems like half of this is, this part right here is red tape because we don't even technically own the property yet. I mean, why don't we just take the property and then go and then start doing these things? We're going to do this. We're going to take this brownfield. We're going to do something with it. We have seven companies that are interested. It just seems like this would be a more transparent, cleaner process.
The county, this is a Superfund site, so these are perhaps some of the most serious sites to be in the chain of title. The county is looking to, frankly, minimize the time that we would be in the chain of title, and also know that, you know, for this purpose, that it is a feasible project and that it would happen.
If it's not a feasible project, I want the property, and I want to start the program with $380 million budget with the Ulster County government. We need to take these properties and stop this talk of liability. If we're not going to do it, who is? We can't have a toxic,
but
we can't have a nuclear waste field out there and say, well, we just don't want the liability. If we're not going to do something about it, no one is. We're the only one that has the resources to really do something about it. And it cleans up this process right here. Let's take the property and then have this conversation.
It is under it's in the EPA Superfund program. So it is capped, it is monitored, it is maintained. There are responsible parties who are who pay the money in order to maintain all the leachate collection and all the system on the site.
That sounds great.
So there's things in place.
Everything you just said, let's go take it then. Why are we
there's
so
a, I think there's a hand I have
to use. Still
waiting
on it. Still.
Was your hand before the chair?
Yes.
I couldn't tell you.
It was.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Why wouldn't we just develop this as Ulster County Solar, use it for the electrical needs we have if we're going to take the property?
If I may.
I do think that's something to think about moving forward, but they've already gone through a process for this.
If I may. We have reserved the right to, if this is developed as a community, if this is a viable project and it's developed as a community solar project, which is what we are intending to, you know, ask the developers, that we would be the anchor customer. So we will be able to, as per the NYSERDA rules, be able to use some of that power. And also that it would be made available to local residents, Ulster County residents, to be built as a community solar project.
Yeah, I'm of the mind that since it's so far along that I'd like to see it move forward. I definitely expect to see the development agreement before Ways and Means votes on it, but I do want to echo what Legislator Maloney said in terms of the urgency with which we're approaching the rest of the properties that are on that outlier list. I agree that we are the last resort, and allowing these properties to just sit not paying taxes and year over year over year is no longer tenable. And we've approved, I look forward to hearing an update on the ARPA Brownfields project, which Legislator Maloney and Ronk were instrumental in bring forward and discussing, and then moving pretty aggressively beyond that, because I know that was only looking at certain projects, but I think I just want to echo what he said, but on this one I think we're so far along, let's get this
I'll
happening.
Just finish up with something I've said for years.
And to quote the chair here, we're so far along, it seems like that's what happens in every meeting. 911 center, all these things that we think could be done different, be done better, be done cheaper, be done more transparent. It's always, well, here's where we are. We're here because the legislature is never involved. We do policy, the exec does operations. Operations is day to day doing. Policy is how you do it, where you do it. This should have come to us, just like the 911 center should have come to us. We should have been touring the 10 possible sites. The legislature should have voted on which site. It should not come to us. Here's the site, here's the deal, wrapped up. And then you either vote no or yes, and then go and start from scratch. We're always out of time. Nothing ever matters. None of the things that don't make sense ever matter. And here we are again, where we should have said, hey, look, we've had this place since 1997. We have some different options here. And then the legislature should really get involved. We probably should have went out there and took a look at the place. We should have been far more intimately involved in this decision all along. And we are, and we never are. And you know why we never are? Because we end up giving in and going along and voting for it. Swearing it'll be different.
I'm sorry, I know we're up for time, but I just don't want my words characterized as saying we're so far along as a negative, conciliatory, well, we're so far along, let's do it. This is a great project. Getting solar on a cap superfund landfill is a great project. I'm not saying we're so far along as a consolation. I'm saying we're so far along as a positive, as a reflection of positive work that's been done, and I think we should support this and see the solar put on this site, but I also want to see the other sites turned to productive use and put back on the tax rolls, which this would do. This would put this back on the tax rolls.
All right.
And I just want to say, echoing to what you said, is that going forward, somehow we have to come up with some better policies so that we don't feel that way, or individuals don't feel that way, but going forward, that we have to make that change. We have to try to make that change, so we're not in the same position if that's how we feel.
And I think that may be to look at the other sites and prioritize and get back to us. The more we initiate the solar because of the climate emergency, the more we initiate the transition to a renewable energy economy, the more we can mitigate climate change. So with that, I am going to call the question. All in favor of resolution number 38, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
I may be opposed on the floor for some of those reasons, you know, as a statement, but it's going. It's ready to go through.
I just want to be sure I know your vote.
I raised my hand.
Yes.
Is it yes? Okay.
Yes.
All right, motion carries, and I would like to hear a motion for discussion on resolution number 39, amending the 2023 county budget to accept grant funds authorized in prior years, Department of Environment. Any questions about this, or can we just take a vote?
Well, we have to.
Go ahead.
And I'll second it.
Motion and second. Any discussion to accept grant funds?
A quick explanation.
Please.
I can, yeah. This is for two specific projects for which the grant funding was amended into the 2022 budget, but was not expensed, and will be expensed in 2023, and the revenue will be realized in 2023.
Great. All in favor of resolution number 39, please signify.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone
aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Resolution number 40, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes with Lewis Solar for the solar energy system pursuant to real property taxes. Any discussion on move for discussion? And second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion on resolution number 40? Yes?
This is, we do a lot of these. They don't have to pay taxes. They agree to pay some. There's a chart that we're supposed to go by. I kind of requested that chart and to take a look at all these different, what we call, I think incorrectly, reverse pilots, to make sure that they all follow the state, like that they kind of gives you a, for the size of the project, this is what they should agree to pay.
Yep.
I always thought we should take a look, whether we have our budget analyst or the controller, take a look and see if there's anything that's different. There's about, I don't know, 50 of these now. I'd love to see if there's real consistency and we stay totally true with each project and what the state says we should, but I've never been able to get a chart that has
been.
But I'm a yes on
this. Is this Department of Environment or Planning? This one?
Finance, I believe.
Yeah. Just moving forward to keep that in mind to check the NYSERDA schedule.
Can I?
Yes, please.
Can I just, through the chair, ask Legislator Maloney, do you want to put a, should we put a formal request into the comptroller's office to do that?
I'm down with that. Just
okay.
Basically just every single, for, I know it's been explained to me that it's really incorrect to call it a reverse pilot, but it's so much easier to do. Every reverse pilot with regards to a solar array that, that we have approved,
yep.
What the state, according to the square footage and the output and all that, what they say would be a good agreement, mm-hmm. number-wise, compared to what the number is that we entered, and hopefully we see the exact same number right down the line.
Okay.
I just think it's good to trust but verify.
I'll reach out.
Thank you.
I'll get back to you. Sure.
And I did send a note explaining my concern about deforestation that is cutting trees, and but I still think that since that's up to the town, and what's up to us is whether or not to approve the pilot. The pilot brings revenue to the county and the town. The project is going to go forward, so we don't want to deprive the coffers of revenue. Okay, so on resolution number 40, all in favor?
Aye.
Signify. Anyone opposed? Okay. Joe, you okay?
Yeah, I did it again.
Okay. I don't see or hear as well as I used to.
You're used to being no more often.
Right. Thank you. Resolution number 41, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with County Waste Recycling Services Department of Public Works. And I did have a question that I raised in committee chairs. It is concerning to me that I go out in the hall and I see a container that says single stream recycling in a county where we the UCRA recommended, and at some expense, the city of Kingston went from single stream to dual stream so that the paper and the bottles and cans were kept separate. And I don't think we should be paying a company for single stream, although I do want to say that our new executive from UCRA and I and others went on a tour of a facility in Beacon that is very effectively separating single stream and actually marketing 3 through 7. It was a really excellent experience. But here in Ulster County, the waste that our county offices generate really should go to the UCRA, and if it's single stream, it can't. So if there's any comment on that, that is a concern that I have. I think it could be modified in discussion. I hate to put this off, and I do want to ask Public Works, if we put it off, does that mean we're not going to have collection services, or could we see if we could modify it in that regard? Who's here from Public Works?
Nobody.
I
apologize. Just the contract is going through the end of December of this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we're in danger of.
Why is it coming up for renewal so early?
It's not renewal.
It's an
add-on. It's a new one?
It's amending the contract. There's a new, it's amending the contract to include the crisis stabilization, mm-hmm. additional demolition, trailers.
It's
not just the new site. That would be a lot for a new site. Not to exceed for trash and additional roll-offs for miscellaneous garbage and our disposal of construction and demolition.
All right. I'm going to hold my concern, but I would like to speak with Public Works about
that issue.
All right, but for now, I think we can move forward. Everyone okay with? All right, so on resolution number 41, all in favor? Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Resolution number 42, approving the execution of a contract for $400,000 entered into by the county with RUPCO, Department of Finance. And this is for the low and moderate income energy retrofit. Go ahead.
This is just something that sounds nice. I think a lot of our approach to the big issues, be it the environment, but especially with housing, ends up being what I call the Willy Wonka golden ticket approach, where we take some money, it takes years. There's a lot of bureaucracy. Administrative costs dominate most of where the money ends up going. And at the end of the day, we end up with 5 or 10 people standing next to an elected official doing a press conference. The problem in the meantime has gotten worse, and very few people get help. So with regards to this, we're going to take $400,000. We're going to hand it off to RUPCO, a not-for-profit, and then lose a lot of oversight and transparency with regard to it. They're going to hire one firm, and that was an issue I had the other night when we talked about it. To have one person look over their own work. So one firm comes in and says, all right, they set up their fans and their computer system, they check the airflow of the property, they come back, they say, this is what needs to be done, and then they do it, and then they go back in with their own equipment, check it, and say, yep, we did a good job, and that's it.
I'm going to beg to differ with you. This is a project that I've shepherded, and I think it's a really valuable project. It will be done both as a study before and after.
No, we had a long, lengthy discussion 2 days ago, and that's exactly what's going to happen. There's no, what are you disagreeing with me about? That it's $400,000, that it's only going to help 10 to 15 houses? Are you disagreeing with the same company is going to be the company that is identifying the issue, doing the construction, and then checking their own work? Are you disagreeing with that? Because those are all things
that were validated
2 days ago.
I also asked for a community engagement program, and this is in partnership with Communities for Local Power, who are going to do the workforce development. But what was missing was money for bricks and mortar to actually do the energy retrofits to save the money and reduce energy consumption. And I've already asked for and we're in the process of creating a planning meeting, and this is going to get off the ground ASAP, but it's also going to have community input, so that it's a project with community members that will be affected, not just for. And I think it's a very good investment of funds because it'll put us in line to get further funding, which will be coming from the Inflation Reduction Act. And the Climate Advisory Council has defined energy efficiency retrofits as a major way of reducing emissions, reducing our dependence on fossil fuels. So
that's all fine. My point here is it's $400,000. Half the money's going to go into administrative costs and all these other things. You're going to end up with 10 to 15 homes getting less drafty. You're going to have some new windows, maybe some new doors, insulation, and lots of spots where they weren't, with no oversight. How many people do we know right now in small claims court for contractors that haven't done what they said they were going to do? There is no oversight. They are going to be overseeing themselves, the same company. When I asked Economic Development about that, the first thing I was told was, we don't know how many companies are willing to do it. 10 minutes later, we were told they have 3 companies already. We could have 2 different companies. It's just, and then at the end of the day, after a year or two goes by, we have 10 people that have a less drafty house. We've got some real issues here. This kind of thing is not necessarily what the county should be doing. The state comes down, the federal government comes down, and they give you breaks on windows and things like that. That's how you get large amounts of people to get more efficient. This, I'm telling you, Willy Wonka's golden ticket. 10 people will get it, and they'll get some new windows.
Chair Bartels?
That's the reason our taxes are so high.
So this is ARPA funding. I definitely had concerns and raised concerns about this portion of the programming of this funding. The other portion went to the job training aspect, which is going to work hand in hand with this. Part of what made me feel a little more comfortable about this is the idea that these projects are meant to be stood up as a model for getting more funding down the road. My one concern today, I think, you know, you threw out a percentage that's going to go to administration and overhead, but my best look at it, 60,000 of the 400 is going to go to administration, which does strike me as, I don't know what standard, but it strikes me as a little bit high. I'd rather see that be a little less and more of this money go to actually retrofitting homes, rather than the oversight. And I don't know if there is any ability to negotiate on that, considering that this is something that I assume RUPCO does on the regular. You know, we're working with a very limited amount of money, and we really want to maximize the effect of it. So that's my main concern. And until seeing the contract in this packet, I didn't know that we were going to be proposing paying that much of the money for a second, you know, for a secondary oversight of the construction to RUPCO.
I'm sorry, just a point of clarification. How much money of this is going to administrative costs? Is it $100,000 or $60,000?
I mean, the contract says 60.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion?
Can I get a question, answer to the question of whether or not that administration portion is negotiable?
Everything's negotiable, but I mean, it is a standard percentage with respect to these types of rehab projects. Anywhere between 15% to 18% is a standard percentage, and the state for our community development block grant funds allows 18%. So that's where the number is not unusual.
Anything else? All right. This is resolution number 42. All in favor?
I'll move it for now.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion passes 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
Resolution number 43, approving the execution of OFA contract for $136,666, entered into by the county with LaBella Associates, Department of Finance, ARFA. And motion to discuss.
So moved.
And motioned and seconded it. Any discussion? All right, hearing no concerns or discussion, I'm going to call the question for resolution number 43. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0. And we got through the motions. I'm probably going to postpone. I think given the time, we need to postpone the new business, but everyone should have a copy of the county exec climate executive order. Yes?
Just to go back, I just got the bid for that, for the AC power. I'm not seeing anything, I'm just looking at it quick, about in the bid saying that we wanted the company to own the property, and I was told that economic development. I don't see that word, that verbiage here. And it also says it might involve a local development corporation, like our housing corp or the EDA, but I haven't heard any talk of that with regards to the possibilities. But why would that have been in the bid? Is there a possibility we're going to transfer this, like there's going to be a public beneficiary corporation involved in this?
Which one is this for, Phil?
The AC power, the solar on the landfill.
On the hurdle.
38.
Hurdle. I was told so.
There's a category for cost benefit analysis.
Yep.
That was part of that, and we were in. It is. I'll review it as well. The RFSOQ. Correct. That's the document you have.
Yes.
The RFSOQ. Yes. So there is an evaluation criteria category, which has to do with the benefit. I forget the exact wording, but it has to do with the economic benefit. So that was the category in which we used to evaluate that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is,
I think it's elsewhere in the narrative.
Was it in what I'll call the RFP? I know there's RFQs. There's different. Well, the bid.
Yep. There's a lot of verbiage in there. But I'm pretty.
I just didn't quickly see.
Yeah.
I was told in economic development that
yes.
it was in the bid
yes.
that we did not want to
yes.
own. So I will find that in here.
Yes.
But then the question on why we included language about this possibly including a public beneficiary corporation, which I'm throwing out examples, our housing
right.
corp, our EDA.
I think it was to reserve the, at that point in time, over the summer, when we drafted that RFSOQ, was to reserve that as a possibility. But we don't see any benefit in that as far as how we currently are envisioning, you know, going forward with it.
Okay, thank you.
I was just going to ask if we wanted to address this situation with this petition to discharge, resolution number 37, that dealt with.
I think that's a good idea. We are way over time,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to postpone discussion of new business and old business to the next meeting. And we'll try to figure out an agenda and make time for the
issues we didn't have time to discuss today, but I do think that that's a very important. So
I mean, will just be coming up in legislative session.
Yes. Do you want to start that conversation very quickly?
Well, I was just curious what the committee thought of.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Petition to discharge. I mean, we apparently voted in favor of this back in the day.
This
is a $3 million Herald construction or a contract for the trails?
This is for authorizing the Department of Planning to submit an application to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority for financial and technical assistance in the design and construction of energy efficient and renewable energy equipment at the proposed Government Operations Center.
Oh.
And that would have been on our agenda, but it didn't make it out of Ways and Means.
Economic development.
So. But there is a petition to discharge, and I would like to hear a little bit more about it. But we will stop at 5 o'clock.
I can give you 30 seconds on it.
Either one of you.
Yes, sure. Can I give you 30 seconds on it?
Please.
This is permission to apply for technical assistance and potentially grant assistance from NYSERDA through their program to look at energy efficiency, carbon neutral ready, all of their programs as they could apply to the Government Operations Center.
So what, does anybody know what happened?
First of all, it's a 7-member committee. We only had 5 people there. Herbie may have abstained from that one.
Yes,
he did.
Right.
So there ended up being only 4 people. One of them was me. Everybody knows what a corrupt, long mess I think this has been over there. I will be a no on anything.
Mm-hmm.
We got people dying and suffering. We got homeless shelters overflowing. We're busing people to Orange County and Greene County, and we're giving rich local insiders $4 million for a piece of property that he paid $2 for. It's going to extend out to 2026 before we start because we've got all this remediation, which will be very costly. Then on top of it, like we've talked about before, all the instances of cancer we've seen out here, these farms out in the town of Lloyd and New Paltz, and now we have all this extra property. The talk is housing. The whole thing was a mess, and the cherry on top is that this rich guy that got this sweet deal, we're going to pay him in the next 2 years to help him on his taxes instead of taking the money out of the general fund right now when we have it. It's a disgusting, filthy mess. That's why I was a no, and it's only going to get more and more expensive and take longer and longer. Well, I'll have this bite at the apple every other month to talk about this because we're going to keep being asked for money. Money we don't have, money that should be spent on a lot of other things.
Joe, can you stay for the vote so we can adjourn?
Yes.
All right. That'll come up in caucus. So there is a pending petition to discharge, and that's up to each of us. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
First.
Second. Okay. Thank you all. We did pretty well.
Aye. Take the vote.
Oh, take
aye.
A vote. All in favor.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Meeting is adjourned at 5 o'clock. Sorry about that, but we did the best we could. And to be continued. What do you need of this, or should I?
I could just take it and recycle it for the future, unless you need anything. These are the resolutions on the agenda.
I'll keep it if you don't need it.
Okay, you want the whole folder? Yes, okay. Do you want the pen?
No.
Thank you so much.
Save it
for
next time.
Thank you.
All
right.
Nick, what's next?
Did
you leave with that
family?
I wanted you to
send
that out.
Oh, and I have. I sent it out to the Energy and Environment Committee earlier this week. Yeah.
Huh. All right. I'll go back and look for it.
For sure. All right.
Good meeting.
I'm getting better at, you know, making schedules and sticking to it.
Okay, thank you, folks.
Have a good night.
There was nothing on all the new business that had to be discussed tonight.
That was written.